Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Life Podcast. I'm your host, James Coe, here. Why are we're giggling off the top?
I'm sorry.
We're not even 20 seconds into the podcast.
We just got a video email, and I guess it's from Rodgers' press conference, but we get emailed like every video they send out for the listeners at home.
Yes.
That goes to the website, unless you're good about managing your emails, which I'm not.
So I'm not.
I get everything. And they just send the subject line.
I see
the subject line is just the video ID, and yes. Then Rodgers, : size matters. That's the title.
I saw it on Twitter. It was in context to the sack that he took right before the last play.
Well, and then obviously in the body of the email, it's Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers explains how he was able to maintain possession of the ball on a sack and the size of Jared Cook's hands. So it's a multi-size take, I guess, but just hell of a liberty by the video team. Because Rodgers, what size matters.
Hey, guess what? People are going to click on that, though.
What a rousing.
That's clickbait if I've ever seen it.
What a rousing start to the podcast.
Hey, welcome, everybody.
This is the size matters edition of the Fantasy Life Podcast.
Now, let me explain why it might not.
Speaking of, so sad to report, no Matt Franchise on today's podcast.
Alas.
Poor little
if I had taps on the soundboard, I'd play it right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Okay.
No need for a soundboard when you got Marcus and I.
He's on sabbatical. He's into the wilderness, as they say.
Probably not wearing pants.
Probably not wearing pants. He might be doing phoners to himself.
Probably.
We've gotten a few proof of lives. He slacked. He slacked the group yesterday.
He allegedly tweeted at Harmon.
Okay.
He did tweet at me today. I saw. He also liked a tweet of mine.
Oh, well,
so
good.
We've got at least three proof of digital life.
I like it. I absolutely love it. We got Alex Gilhar in the house. What's up?
Yo, family comes into town today, so then I'm going to be O-O-O out of office for those not hip with the corpo lingo on Thursday and Friday. So once we're done here and I wrap up a couple other things, I'm going to zip over and pick up Mom and Papa Gilhar from the airport, and then little sister comes in tomorrow. So
oh, is that right?
Should be fun.
Wow. Got the whole Gilhar clan.
Yeah, they always like to come out because working here, I don't get to go back for Christmas and stuff because
right.
There's just no time. So they all come out here in January because it's cold as hell back where we live.
What's the forecast out there?
I don't know. I'll look while you rotate and introduce the rest of the people.
MG,
here.
My guy Marcus Grant, was cracking?
I had chicken fingers and fries for lunch, and now I need a nap.
Ah. Okay.
I need a nap.
Good.
It's a balmy 37 degrees today where my parents live.
It's fine.
Humidity's at 85%. Wind's only 15 miles an hour.
So it probably feels like a balmy 38 or 39, you know?
Yeah.
The future host of NPR Fantasy, Matt Harmon. What's cranking?
Hey, James Coe, thanks. I have to say that's one of the best introductions you've given me on the show.
Perfect.
I really appreciate it.
Great show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about playoff challenge. We're going to do a week-by-week breakdown of the top scorers at every position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. I think we're going to pass on tight end this year. Although, I don't know.
Because you don't want to talk about the Brate train?
I mean, I looked at the top 10 of tight end.
Because you know he charged right into that top 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he was eighth or five? I think he was fifth overall.
He was up there, man.
He was in there. He was in there. But overall, the position group died.
I haven't pulled up the fantasy scoring page in like 2 weeks because I've just tried to forget it completely.
Was not wonderful at the tight end position this year. So we may pass over that one. I'm not exactly.
I think that's acceptable.
All right, fine. But this week, we're going to be talking about quarterbacks. We'll give you your top 10 scorers at the quarterback position. Talk about whether or not they can keep it going into 2017. Back at 2016.
I thought on this segment, why don't we each also add one person we think could jump into that top 10 who wasn't there from this year?
Pulling an audible. I like it.
Okay. I like that. We're going to talk about we're going to vote on Fantasy Bargain of the Year. LeGarrette Blount, DeMarco Murray, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard, Matt Ryan. Talk about Fantasy MVP as well. It's interesting to me because Matt Ryan is basically on every list of anything. whether it's waiver wire pickup, fantasy bargain of the year, fantasy MVP, it doesn't matter. He's right there.
He's that dude. He's that dude this year.
I know. He is that dude this year. Fantasy MVP. Is it David Johnson? Is it Zeke Elliott? A case could be made for Lev Bell. Aaron Rodgers. Again, Matt Ryan, possible fantasy MVP. We shall vote right here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Of course, we'll close out with Daily Dabs. But as always, we start with your top headline.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
Not headlines. Headline. One. I scoured the way. I mean, I'm scouring NFL.com to look for something that, I mean, and you know me, I can turn anything fantasy relevant. But, man, there ain't a lot out there, brother.
Kind of barren right now.
You didn't want to talk about Chip Kelly interviewing with the Jaguars?
No. I did. I mean, if it becomes official, all right,
oh, then
cool.
We'll have a whole 90-minute podcast.
Sure. Why not?
We will not. Don't worry, listeners.
I have a lot of thoughts.
No, you don't. Okay.
Well, that you can argue that I shouldn't have a lot of thoughts, but not having thoughts or not, and, you know, whatever.
We'll see. We'll see what happens there in Duval County. But we'll start in San Francisco. I guess it's a co-headline of San Francisco ATL. The Niners are basically going to offer Atlanta offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan their head coaching gig as soon as he's out of the playoffs. It is basically through multiple reports. Mike Silver did a great job reporting on this. But it's basically Kyle Shanahan's job to turn down. And it doesn't look like he's going to do that. So the Niners look like they have their next head coach. Obviously, nothing is official yet. A lot could change. As a matter of fact, ATL's got to go through their playoff schedule. It's not like they're going to – it's not necessarily that they might lose here in the NFC Championship game. Hell, they might not even lose in the Super Bowl. But they've got a great team in front of them. But it is Kyle Shanahan's job to lose. As a matter of fact, through reports, he's going to be involved in the GM selection process as well, which I think is very interesting for a guy who's got no cachet as a head coach, but still they're entrusting their franchise heavily to Kyle Shanahan. All right, some stats overall here. I looked at the numbers, guys.
Oh, all right.
Uh-oh. I looked at the numbers.
Let's do it.
He's had a top 10 offense in terms of yards. Six of the 9 years that he has been an OC, he's had a top 5 offensive unit in terms of yards four times in 9 years. That's pretty good. We talk about the pass run balance. Well, he's a pretty pass heavy guy. He's been in the top 10 in terms of pass attempts again in 6 of those 9 years. You would think that this year would be one of those years. Actually, not the case. 2016, Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense, actually 26th in pass attempts, but 3rd in passing yards.
That's called efficiency, bro.
That is unbelievable efficiency. All right, so let's talk about San Francisco. We don't know what their quarterback situation is. We don't know what their wide receiver situation is. We know that Carlos Hyde will be there. Having Kyle Shanahan into the fold, what does it mean? I know I'm stretching here, but really, he's the only guy that we know for certain will be back in San Francisco that is fantasy relevant. What does it mean for Carlos Hyde?
probably that he's about the same value that he had this year, which is like a high upside but risky, like fourth-ish round pick. I don't know that I'd feel much better taking him higher than that.
I mean, all the other teams that Shanahan coached in the past had significantly more talent across the board than this one does.
Except when he was at Cleveland.
But even then, I mean, I don't even know. I might debate that Cleveland team had more talent.
Come on. I mean,
think about what you just said. I mean, we said there's Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
And?
Okay.
Jeremy Curley led the team in targets.
And?
That's not good. That's not good.
I thought you were going to try and like spin this positive. I'm like, there's no talent there. The quarterback situation is up in the air. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to be Colin Kaepernick, but who is it going to be? You don't know. The wide receiver core, as Harmon mentioned, I mean, Jeremy Curley led the team in targets.
We don't even know who's going to be there. I mean, some of these guys, a lot of these guys are going to get cut.
Torrey Smith is probably going to be cut. I would imagine.
I mean,
like, they have Vance McDonald.
Vance McDonald, you know.
The Shanahan offense does have a history with tight ends being rather productive. Didn't really happen this year in Atlanta. Although Jacob Tammy had a pretty good stretch of when he was getting some volume before
Austin Hooper had some nice moments.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So I think, like, and thinking back to Washington, you know, when it was an RG3 under center, there was a lot of production going to the tight end position, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that this could be a good move for Vance McDonald if you're looking for a tight end sleeper, though he did end the year on IR. The key with the quarterback position is this is an offense that is typically boosted up quarterback play. You know, you think about what they did for RG3 as a rookie there in Washington. Matt Schaub had a really good stretch under Kyle Shanahan in Houston. Matt Ryan struggled in his first year. Let's not forget that. Like, this time last year, we were all talking about, is Matt Ryan even a fit with Kyle Shanahan? But he was much better doing those boot action passes.
Right.
He had a passer rating of 110.2. Completed 6 touchdown passes when he was rolling out of the pocket this
year.
So I think this is a situation where hopefully long-term this becomes a really productive offense. But good God, it's a tough task to take on for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. In 2017, I don't know if there's going to be anyone who's going to be fantasy relevant other than, as we mentioned, Carlos Hyde, who you're going to be taking, you know, in the middle round somewhere. Vance McDonald, I guess you take maybe super, super late. Probably not even.
He's a waiver wire guy.
I don't know.
See
I think what
happens on week one.
It depends, but I think that you could see Vance McDonald become, you know, I mean, we were talking, we're going to skip over tight ends because it's such a such a terrible position.
Yeah, it's been a disaster.
I think you could easily see him become a really popular sleeper. That's a late round, you know, double digit round pick.
It's true.
This time next year, they picked second overall in the draft too. So we don't know. I don't think anybody in this room would claim to be super familiar with draft prospects at this point.
Right.
Not at all.
By the way, I just read Daniel Jeremiah, who released his top 50 draft prospects for 2017, the upcoming draft. It's a good read.
Yes.
It's a good read.
DJ does a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting, too, because he's got Deshaun Watson as his third highest rated quarterback.
I thought it was second.
I think it's third. I think he put somebody else right above him.
And I thought it was Trubisky, Watson. But either way, there's a big conversation of whether it's Mitch Trubisky from UNC,
right?
Sean Watson from Clemson, and then there's Deshaun Kaiser from...
Oh, that's who we had first, was Kaiser.
I couldn't remember. I know that Trubisky and Watson were right next to each other, but I didn't know if...
Yeah,
Kaiser
so he put Trubisky ahead of him, which would shock a lot of people, I think, having watched college football playoffs. But regardless, we'll move on. Let's talk about the playoff challenge. Alex Skelhar, what do you got for me, pal?
Well, we all adjusted our lineups and we put it out there today on the Twitters and NFL.com/fantasy. But
boom.
Basically, with Jordy Nelson still looking like a long shot to play, he's putting a lot of people in a bit of a predicament there. And Davante Adams might not practice until this weekend now for the game on Sunday.
He's got that ankle, right?
He's got that ankle. Yep, got rolled up on pretty bad. But he came back into the game. So those are some interesting picks to finish out. Somebody to look to, because a lot of people had Travis Kelce in their lineups and lost him. Ladarius Green seems like a long shot to play again still too, but Jared Cook saw a stat that like he was targeted on like 5 or 6 of Rodgers' passes 15-plus yards downfield today on Twitter.com, and Cook had a big game. Obviously, that last catch was worked in regularly against the Giants, and when he's been healthy, he's been a pretty big part of that Packers offense. Otherwise, you know, look to maybe Tevin Coleman as a running back if you lost out on Ezekiel Elliott or anybody
else. Not Devontae Freeman?
I mean, Tevin Coleman's kind of the more unique play to help your roster, and they use him in such different ways. Devonta Freeman's a good one, too, but, you know, part of playoff challenge is getting...
Peter Gabriel?
If you really want.
Okay.
I think he's hurt, too.
Oh, yeah, he's not practicing today, though, for sure.
Not that he might still play, but...
But anyways, and if you just need one or two more weeks of fantasy football, guys, NFL.com/playoff challenge, you can still sign up, get in a lineup. You just won't have a chance to win that juicy prize of a trip to Super Bowl 52 because, hey, you're missing out on 2 weeks of bonuses and stuff. But
it's true.
You get a couple more weeks of fantasy. Have some fun with it.
Well, and if you're
thinking?
Still in. And if you're still in. That's not a bad prize.
Not at all.
Not a bad prize.
Not at all.
Minneapolis. I bet the weather is tasty there, too.
Probably not. It's probably very cold.
They play inside.
They play inside, so though.
Well,
that'll be fine.
But you still have to exist in the city.
You know what? That being said, I remember I covered the Super Bowl there in Dallas. Was that the Rodgers-Steelers one? Packers-Steelers?
Yeah, in Dallas.
Yeah, in Dallas. It was a straight, I mean. Ice storm. -6 degrees. I remember doing a live shot in the morning, and I'm like, this is not my life.
I don't want your life.
I do not want your life. -6 degrees early in the AM, trying to talk about Packers and Steelers not fun.
You know, I've lived out here in California now, like, I guess over a year and a half now at this point or something like that. I cannot imagine that much that cold, like that level of cold. It's just so completely left my mind. Like anything below 40 degrees doesn't exist anymore.
I know. No. Listen, pal, I'm a guy that's,
and you've
lived
here forever.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I've traveled up and down the 5 freeway for college and for my professional career. And let me tell you something. I was not ready for that. I had some long johns on and some jeans, and I was woefully unprepared.
Yeah. I apologize for even bringing this up, because if there's one thing I know that all the listeners are probably tuning out, because there's nothing that anybody hates more than people from in California talking about weather.
All right, we should move.
Let's
along.
Keep going.
We got a big show.
I'm sorry.
Top scorers from 2016. We're going to take a look back at every position except tight end and break down the top 10. We'll talk about what happened in 2016 and do these guys build or regress in 2017. Top 10 fantasy quarterbacks. Number one, Aaron Rodgers, 4,400 yards, 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Also had 4 fumbles lost as well. But, you know, this was the crazy thing. 369 rushing yards.
Career high.
Career high, and also third most in the NFL for quarterbacks, which I thought was interesting. But overall, he had 44 total touchdowns. He led the way with 380 points. Let's talk about how he got there, though, Alex Gellhaller, because, you know, in the early part of the season, the offense looked absolutely lost, and he went crazy in the back half.
Well, it was mostly just he had 2 20-plus point outings in his first 3 weeks, but then he hit the skids a little bit against the Giants in Dallas, and that's when everybody was starting to panic, because he put up 15.8 points and 12.4. But then after that, he only had 2 games with fewer than 20 points down the stretch, and a number of them with 30-plus, 3 with 30-plus points. So
yeah,
he just went crazy, and that offense caught fire a little bit. It corrected some of its ills. It found a supplementary running game, and he was good to go. But, I mean, this speaks to the point where, like, last year, everybody I'm sure remembers the Cam versus Aaron Rodgers debates, and
right,
who do you take number one and stuff, and Rodgers, aside from 2015, in seasons when he's played 15 games at least, because he had the Matt Flynn year, he's finished first or second in quarterback scoring
every year.
Every year.
I know.
Like,
it's
Breeze is always in the mix, and people are like, well, Cam's been in, like, the top 4 every year. I'm like, we're talking one or two.
One,
like,
or two.
He has a floor, almost, essentially, of finishing second among quarterbacks for you.
And I think that's why most fantasy analysts had Rodgers ahead of Cam coming into the preseason. Matt Ryan, 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 2 fumbles lost, so 9 total turnovers. Had 117 rush yards as well, 347. So a good, you know, 33 points below Aaron Rodgers. But, man, you talk about the value you got out of Matt Ryan this year. 4,900 passing yards. Matt Harmon, talk about the production of Matt Ryan. How did he get there, and what does he offer up in 2017?
Well, I mean, this was an outrageous year for the entire Falcons offense, and I wrote about why he's my MVP pick. I wrote about the case for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady as well in a piece last week, and just it's remarkable how everybody on that offense became like a deep threat. He had the highest passer rating on passes that traveled 20 or more yards in the air.
Yep.
Every single player except Mohamed Sanu finished with the passer rating when they were targeted of over 100 on that team, other than Devonta Freeman too, but I mean among wide receivers, and even Tevin Coleman. So everybody became a downfield threat. The offense operated a high amount of efficiency. I think one free agent signing that doesn't really get mentioned a lot is Alex Mack, who really helped solidify that offensive line.
Oh, man, we were talking about that big time in the offseason, though.
Yeah.
I was so huge on that signing.
You were, and that's a credit to you. But in the monstrosity that's become the Falcons season, I think he's almost become like an overlooked player. But
100%.
Which happens because all the offensive players balled too.
Yeah,
and the craziest thing was that they didn't rely that much on Julio Jones. We've talked about it on this podcast before how he dropped down
up and down
12.7 targets per game in 2015 just to 9.2 this year. And that's a pretty big substantial drop off. You know, he led the league last in 2015 with over 200 targets.
All right, so I'll throw it out to the group though. No Kyle Shanahan next year. Reportedly, what does it mean for Matt Ryan, Marcus Grant, moving forward in 2017?
Well, I think you know there will be changes. Obviously, I think you'll have a new offensive coordinator, so that may facilitate a few tweaks here and there in the offense. But I think with the variety of weapons that they have, I think everything should generally be status quo. I mean, I think the best thing that ever happened to Matt Ryan was finding someone other than Julio Jones to throw the football to, and you know it. it sort of stinks fantasy-wise trying to pick another receiver there in that offense. And in some ways, it's the frustration that we've had with the Saints over the years. But in terms of, obviously, the Falcons offense and in terms of Matt Ryan's fantasy production, it did wonders because now you're not trying to lock in on one guy. No matter how good that guy is, you're not locking in on one guy trying to feed him the football. So whoever's going to be the next offensive coordinator in Atlanta, you know, assuming that Shanahan is gone, you know, they're going to be wise to try and continue to incorporate everybody into this offense, from Julio Jones to the two running backs, yes, to Mohamed Sanu to Taylor Gabriel. I would imagine you'll see Austin Hooper have a bigger role next year. So sure, you'll have so many gadgets to play with that I think, you know, I don't know if Matt Ryan's your number two fantasy quarterback next year, but I think
he should not be.
That's the question. Is he the number two fantasy quarterback?
Oh, God, no.
I don't think there's 0% chance of drafting Matt Ryan at what cost is going
to
be.
I was just going to say, I'm fading the hell out of Matt Ryan because one of the stats we need to consider with this is his touchdown rate. And last year, part of why he was so bad was he had a career low 3.4% of his pass attempts wound up as touchdowns. This year, career high, also led the league with 7.1%. This is something our friend J.J. Zacharyson has done a study on. I think the average regression on that rate is like 2.4 percentage points. So okay, Matt Ryan has a career touchdown rate of 4.7.
Yeah.
He's going to slide back down. He'll be a fine fantasy quarterback. He's not going to be number two. He's going to finish somewhere probably in 5 to 12. I don't know. But he's going to get way overdrafted.
Can I offer a counter argument to that, though?
Certainly.
Yes, his touchdown rate was absolutely out of range in terms of what we've seen for his career. Two things. One, the offense is totally different. Mike Smith ran just a 5 or 7 step drop and deep downfield. This is obviously a more West Coast style offense. The other thing is, we just talked about it off the top with Kyle Shanahan. The Falcons only threw the ball, they didn't throw the ball that much. 26th in the league in pass attempts.
Yeah, when you
got to figure the pass attempt number goes up.
When you don't have Kyle Shanahan dialing up all those crazy good plays, though, and you know he's got to adjust to a new coordinator potentially, that's going to be a big difference. Dan Quinn's a defensive head coach, and like this same system that bore out this great year for him also bore out one of his worst statistical years last year.
It's also too, like, they scored 540 points as a team. That was 70. They obviously led the NFL. That was 71 more points than the second team. That's a number that's definitely going to probably come down. I mean, I would bet most every possession I own that number comes down.
Yeah.
They don't lead the league with that many points next year. And I think the pass attempts will come up, but the efficiency will go down overall.
Okay.
And with quarterbacks, we're probably wanting to chase efficiency over volume, whereas every other position you want to chase volume.
It's interesting to me because I look forward to 2017, and I think the quarterback position will be drafted extremely late because guys who you would take early on, Drew Brees, he's so much older now. I know he was still number the quarterback three this year, but I think people are going to fade against Drew Brees. I think you're right. I don't think people are going to trust Matt Ryan. I think they're going to fade him. Well, who's left? I mean, Andrew Luck, are you going to take him in the fifth round? I don't think so. Somebody like, you know, somebody who fell out of the top 10, Cam Newton, are you going to take him in the fifth? I don't think so. Are you going to take somebody like Russell Wilson in the fifth round? I don't think so. He also fell out of the top 10. So it's interesting to me. I think the quarterback position next year will be taken extremely late, even in casual leagues, even in leagues where, look, I know they get taken super late in you know, expert leagues, but I mean, in casual leagues, I got to think that the quarterback position is going to fall as well.
I think you're probably right.
I don't think so. I mean, I think in casual leagues, Aaron Rodgers will go early.
Yes, that's for sure.
But people will look around and they will see, Matt Ryan had 38 touchdowns last year. He had
4,900 yards.
Right. I need to go grab him. You know, Drew Brees, he's still Drew Brees. Let me go get Drew Brees. So maybe some of these names, like, you know, I think a guy like Phillip Rivers falls back. I think Andrew Luck maybe falls back.
Yeah.
But I still think you're going to have some early runs on quarterbacks.
Yeah, buddy.
That guy, too.
The quarterback three, as we mentioned, Drew Brees, 5,200 yards passing. 5,200. That's amazing. Drew Brees is a million years old, but yet he still led the league in passing yards this year. 37 passing touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 4 fumbles lost, 19. 18 turnovers. That's a ton for Drew Brees.
He's had a lot recently. You just kind of got to take that with him.
Yeah. I mean, and you're leaving out the most important part, that he is the 2016 winner of the Mark Bulger Award.
Is he?
He is the winner of the Mark Bulger Award.
Congrats.
But, you know, Blake Bortles made a late push to try to defend his title, but Brees held him off.
That's a pretty big...
Those back-to-back weeks of three picks, no touchdowns, really kind of locked it up for Brees late.
Yeah, okay.
That's a pretty big get for the Mark Bulger Award. Big name. Yeah, future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees.
It's true. It's pretty good. 5,200 yards. All right, so let's take a look back at 2016 very quickly, Alex Gilhart, and then talk to me about what you expect out of Brees in 2017.
I mean, it's basically been par for the course for Brees. He's been throwing a lot of turnovers, like as you said, over 5,000 yards. It's kind of been his MO of late. But for next year, I mean, I don't think, you know, he's going to be one of those good guys to target that might fall because of a little bit because of his age. But he's got a ton of weapons around him. He's got offensive continuity, and until we actually see him run into that wall.
Yeah.
You know, he just turned 38, so hopefully he's got a year or two at least left. I'll take a shot at him later. I'm not going to reach for him, but the guy's had 4,800 plus yards in six straight seasons.
Pretty good.
Well, and as long as the Saints defense continues to struggle, there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games played by the Saints.
That ain't changing anytime soon.
That's not going to change anytime soon. So that means they're always going to be in a situation where they're likely going to have to throw the football to either come from behind or at least to stay in games with the opposition.
All these coaching openings, there's going to be so many rumors swirling around Sean Payton, as we've seen already. So, I don't know. That'll be something to keep an eye on.
All right, we'll get everything changes. We'll get our annual Sean Payton trade rumor next year, too.
There you go. Perfect. I like it.
Just like we're going to get the annual Ryan Tannehill breakout year.
No,
think
I'm not
pieces
doing,
come,
I'm not
come
doing
July.
This year.
Oh, just wait.
Andrew Luck, 4,200 yards. 4,200 yards. Quarterback four, Andrew Luck. 31 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 5 fumbles, so 18 total turnovers. 341 rush yards, pretty good. 2 rushing touchdowns, but was a big drop-off from quarterback three to quarterback four. Brees had 332 points in standard. Andrew Luck had 307, so a significant drop-off, but you look at his pace, it's pretty good. He did miss a game as well. So Andrew Luck met Harmon in 2016 versus 2017.
Yeah, the Andrew Luck story in the NFL is starting to get super repetitive. I mean, he's going to put up a lot of production. The Colts aren't going to go anywhere because they stink. And, I mean, this year, you know, this was supposed to be the year where T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief were a great number one and two receiver.
Philip Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett is a three. Dwayne Allen was he was finally going to have his breakout year after getting a nice commitment. Yeah, sure. Nice commitment from the team in the offseason.
Oh,
they were going to use
God.
Him differently. Nobody cares. He did the same old Dwayne Allen story. I mean, this Colts team is getting super repetitive. But I say all that to say that Andrew Luck really didn't get a lot of help once again this year. I mean, he had T.Y. Hilton being a stud. He led the league in receiving yardage with just 1,448, which was pretty low.
Right.
Moncrief only played in 9 games.
There was not a single 1,500-yard guy at the wide receiver position.
It was a crazy year for low receiver production.
Say, I want to paint a quick word picture with Andrew Luck because our friend and colleague Bucky Brooks has a good saying, I think that came from NFL Scouting Rooms, like, with quarterbacks, are they a truck or are they a trailer? Like, are they dragging their team as are they carrying their team as the truck,
okay,
or are they dead weight that their team is pulling along?
Yes.
Luck is a truck, but his trailer is missing most of all the wheels, and it's filled
it's boulders. It's overloaded, right?
And he's going uphill constantly.
I swear to God, if they do not address running back this year, there are so many good running backs
in
this draft.
Or offensive line, too.
Offensive line needs to be addressed, although this is kind of a weak class for offensive linemen.
It is a bad offensive line class. Luckily, they took like 4 last year. I mean, their center was obviously day one impact.
But I mean, like, Luck could be a sneaky guy. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a top 2 scorer next year if things break right for him. If he doesn't have Dante Moncrief sit out for like 7 weeks, and if, you know, he gets a little more help and things break the right way, because this is still an impressive year, despite everything that went wrong for him and the Colts.
Quarterback four, and again, you know, the Colts season kind of fell apart. He missed a game. I was overall pretty impressed by what I saw from Andrew Luck. All right, Kirk Cousins, believe it or not, snuck into the top 5.
Hell yeah, Kirk Cousins.
I like that. 4,900 passing yards. He was 3rd in the NFL in terms of passing yards, folks. I think that number in itself would surprise a lot of people. I know they were throwing the ball a lot there in Washington, but man, to be 3rd in the NFL? That's pretty good.
I mean, the crazy thing about Kirk, too, is that, like, nobody wanted to give him that due, but the guy was just consistent in fantasy. Because he had that opening weekend,
week one was
prime time, island game, disaster. Two interceptions, no touchdowns.
Right.
But after that, he scored 17 or more points in, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of his next 10 games. Like, he wasn't week-winning Aaron Rodgers 33-type points, but you're getting 18.5, 19, 17, 21.5, 24, like 18.
You didn't have to scramble to find quarterback production if you had Kirk Cousins.
And you never worried.
You never worried.
The whole season. He was just super consistent.
I agree.
There's a slight concern that they've lost Sean McVay, but I think Jay Gruden being the offensive-minded head coach will help keep consistency there.
Well,
is he taking play calling duties over again, Jay Gruden?
I think they promoted their quarterback coach, right?
Yeah. Right.
He's also been there for a long time, so.
Well, I think you know, that's obviously a big question is what happens without McVay, but also the fact that, you know, chances are they're probably going to lose DeSean Jackson, and they're still really trying to figure out their running back situation. I mean, I thought they started maybe put some things together late in the year.
Yeah.
But I think there are still some questions to be answered. I laugh because I think the football world at large kind of looks at Kirk Cousins and still squints their eyes and thinks, is he good? Is he not good?
I like him. I know a lot of people don't, but I like him. I mean, when I watch him play, I know he makes a couple boneheaded plays every now and again. But, you know, if you're expecting perfection out of a guy who was, a fourth-round draft pick? I mean, come on. I think he's absolutely overperformed not only his contract, but also his draft position. I don't know. I think he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL. I know that sounds bold.
Ooh, that is bold.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I go that high. But
what my thing is, I don't think we're giving the situation enough credit for just how uncertain it is. I mean, he's not under contract next year. That is Kirk Cousins. I mean,
Pierre Garçon isn't.
Pierre
Sean
Garçon
Jackson
also
isn't.
Garçon.
And actually, they haven't named an OC yet. I was just looking.
No,
at
that's a great
point.
Because I think Gruden
is
falling, returning to play calling duty.
Yeah,
so we don't know who's going to be calling plays. We don't know who the top two receivers are going to be. I mean, they have Jamison Crowder, who's a really good slot receiver. They drafted Josh Doctson high last year, got nothing out of him.
He went on IR.
With the Achilles injury.
Lord knows what's going to happen with Jordan Reed and all his injuries.
There's always Jordan Reed there, but they paid him a lot of money.
Yeah,
he will be there. They don't have a running back right now.
How dare you slander Fat Rob like that?
Dude, they're not. I'll do a beer bet right now. They don't go into week one with him as their.
Oh, I can't take that right now. There's way too much uncertainty.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like,
I think they take a running back in the draft too.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what is certain about this offense?
Not a whole heck of a lot.
As we sit here now.
No, you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding Kirk Cousins, and I think as a result, he'll probably go pretty late in drafts.
I would love to take him late, though, because even if they hodgepodge together their offensive pieces, who would have looked at this and thought an injury-ravaged Jordan Reed, no running game, and
aging Pierre
Garçon and aging DeSean Jackson and Jamison Crowder would have led to Kirk Cousins throwing for almost 5,000 yards?
Would you take him as your every week starter?
If I got him, like...
In 2017?
Yes.
If I got him, like, in the double-digit rounds next year, I would draft him and hope he would continue to be my... He would be, like, my Tyrod from this year.
He'll be available in round 10.
He'll be there in round 10.
Like, I'll wait out on him, and I'll pick him up, and if he starts to falter, then I'll stream.
He was the quarterback 5. The quarterback 6, Dak Prescott, 3,600 passing yards, 23 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 4 fumbles lost. For a rookie to only have 8 turnovers total, I can't even compute this. 282 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns. So he had 29 total touchdowns.
He was unbelievable.
He was amazing. This guy's going to go super high in drafts. And by super high, I mean, you know, he's going to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 range.
Single-digit rounds?
Yeah. I think so.
I'd be scared.
Now, I mean, but, you know, I'm just talking about most more casual leagues. I think he's playing for a name franchise.
That's a good point.
There's so much press and all that going around him. He's going into his second year. He's going to develop. He still has all the weapons. And the fact that he's a rushing quarterback, too, I think will obviously boost his value as well.
He would be a priority target of mine in the double-digit rounds. I'm just not going to take any quarterback, really, in the single-digit rounds.
Sure.
It's not how I do things with fantasy, but like that especially would be pretty egregious. Just because they're not going to be an overall like high pass attempt volume.
It's true.
Yeah. Him and Kirk would be at like the top of my double digit round quarterback list.
Yeah. But I think you're going to see his preseason ADP. I think he's going to go somewhere in between 5 and 9.
He'll be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, there's going to be some wide variance on him for sure. There is Matt Stafford, 4,300 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 2 fumbles, 12 total turnovers, 207 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns as well. He was your quarterback 7. Tyrod Taylor, we have no idea what the hell's going to happen with Tyrod.
Man, I hope he falls in a good spot.
Is it confirmed they're going to cut him?
No, but it would be pretty surprising.
How do you do that?
Well, you're the Bills. Have they done many things?
Per Adam Schefter, they have no intention of paying for a $15.5 million option they have until March 11th to exercise. So,
freaking bargain.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, when you have a chance
you're getting
to
a starting quarterback for $15 million that is actually productive. I mean, this guy was productive in a stupid offense.
Hey, look, when you have a chance to set up a quarterback battle between E.J. Manuel and Cardale Jones, you got to take it.
I mean, yeah, they could eat. They're going to start over with another quarterback?
We ain't here to play school, guys.
I don't mind Cardale. You know, I don't know exactly what he can do, but, I mean, we saw some of the upside, certainly.
Yeah, I kind of like Cardale, too, but that's a hell of an unknown to go into.
Oh, yeah, it's huge unknown. I mean, he's, you know, a Ben Roethlisberger-type quarterback, but, yeah.
You could easily take 2 wins next year with Cardale as your starter.
Exactly.
You're starting all over again.
100% agree.
Year, so.
It's obviously not E.J.
Manuel. Talk too much about the Bills, aren't
you? All right, let's move on. but Tyrod Taylor, 3,000 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2 fumbles lost, 580 rushing yards. That was led the NFL in terms of quarterbacks, 580 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns. So he had 23 total touchdowns. He had a pretty darn good season, man.
And let's not forget, this was also without Sammy Watkins for basically the entire season, without Robert Woods for much of the season, with the ghost of Charles Clay for most of the season.
They changed their offensive coordinator midseason.
Throwing to Justin Hunter, and he put up a top 10 quarterback season.
It's ridiculous. I'm so frustrated by this storyline that the Bills are going to cut Tyrod. I mean,
so is Tyrod.
At 15, it's a bargain.
Yeah. Hey, let somebody else take that bargain and let's have him be a fantasy stud somewhere else. But let's wrap up these last.
Maybe he could take over the team of the quarterback just below him.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Don't see that.
It's not going to happen.
It's not
going to
happen.
Exciting.
But you know, a guy can dream, right?
Yeah.
That quarterback is Blake Bortles, for the record.
Spoiler alert.
Blake Bortles, 3,900 passing yards, 23 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 6 fumbles lost, 22 total touchdowns. It was literally an embarrassment to the quarterback position this year.
It's really impressive he didn't go back-to-back with the Mark Bulger Award.
He really tried, but, you know, I think it's more that Breeze had, you know, the turnovers, and he was higher on the score.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes total sense.
This was pretty crazy. Blake Bortles, as bad as he was, the quarterback 9, folks.
Well, that's kind of the story of his fantasy existence so far.
Oh, God, it was gross. Derek Carr. No, go ahead.
I got to say, I'm starting to get a little talked into what's going on in Jacksonville, too, with Tom Coughlin as the executive vice president there.
Tom, are you talking about a Blake Bortles 2017 resurgence?
I'm not going to rule it out.
Oh, no.
Or at least becomes
we're going to have fantasy.
No.
Are you going to keep Twitter tabs on him and see how his offseason goes?
I might. We'll see. but to that point, there's not going to be like what went on in Jacksonville with Bortles, with the rest of the team. Like, there was no team, I think, that was held less accountable than Jacksonville by the Gus Bradley regime. I mean, that's who Gus Bradley is. And that's not happening with Grandpa Tom back then. I mean, that is not going to fly. You saw him at the press conference right away. Like, the reporter asked, you know, are you like, somehow phrased a question to Doug Marrone, like, is the goal to win? And Tom Coughlin, what the hell else would the goal be? Like, I mean, I think he's really going to whip that team into shape. And whether it is Bortles or another quarterback, I think that their offense gets back to respectability. And I think Blake is not salvageable to the point where he's going to be, like, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but I think he's salvageable to the point where he can be the 20th best quarterback in the league.
Okay.
Where he was, like, the 32nd last year.
Derek Carr, 3,900 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3 fumbles lost, no rushing scores at all. But obviously the injury looms large. We'll see what his preseason outlook looks like as we enter into 2017. All right, let's vote on fantasy bargain of the
year. Let's throw out our guys that aren't in the list that we think could jump
in.
So
there's Russell Wilson outside of the top 10, Cam Newton outside of the top 10.
Tom Brady, 15th overall.
Tom Brady.
Big Ben.
Big Ben.
Can I throw out a vote for Marcus Mariota here?
Marcus Mariota, yeah. Also dealing with his own broken leg, but will be back, I'm assuming, here at some point near the start of the season. So, yeah, he's in there too. Marcus, we'll start with you. Do you believe in your fellow Marcus there?
I do. I actually do believe in Marcus Mariota. I mean, I thought what we saw from him, especially early in the season, looked fantastic. And he just looked – he looked like he was more comfortable in that offense. But at the same time, it looked like the Titans were smart enough to kind of build the offense around him. I mean, I think what we've seen out of, you know, athletic multi-threat quarterbacks is so many times coaches try to just force them into a system in which they're not comfortable. And I don't feel like the Titans did that. And as much as a lot of people, myself chiefly, mocked the, you know, exotic smash mouth at the beginning of the year.
Let's go.
It started to look good, especially late in the season. I know they collapsed. They missed the playoffs. But you could tell that there was something building there. Now the next step for them is to please get him some weapons on the outside. Rishard Matthews had some nice games.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit of Kendall Wright, Delanie Walker there, but they've got to get him a legit playmaker on the outside to kind of open up some defenses a little bit. But I like what I saw out of Marcus Mariota this year.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Speaking of which, his fellow draft class member, I could throw it out there for Jameis Winston, depending on what happens in free agency in the draft, because this poor guy, speaking of trucks, pulling a broken offense, like, Jameis Winston had, like, no running. They resurrected Jaquizz Rodgers to give him a running game.
He was their best running back.
I know. Vincent Jackson fell apart, and then, like, every other pass
Adam
catcher
Humphreys
he had.
Adam Humphreys was his number two wide receiver,
right,
bro.
And he had that they cut his tight end after, like, week two.
Oh, my God.
To make room for the best tight end.
Yeah, Cameron Brate. It's but true, right. If they go out and get him another wide receiver in free agency or a big one in the draft, I mean, Winston's had over 4,000 yards in each of his first two seasons, I think. 28 touchdowns this year. 18 picks has got to come back. But he's got a good system there. Dirk Cutter's the head coach now, so
go get
consistency
Mike Williams.
Is maintained. Go, Mike Williams would be fun.
Go get Mike Williams.
Mike Williams and Mike Evans.
Go
Mike,
get
Mike
it.
And Mike.
Man, Mike
Let's
and do Mike.
I would like to see like a take the top off guy. You know, Deshaun Jackson's easy to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
Going back to the Eagles, that would be a fun fit. John Ross is a receiver that's really fast.
I would just I would keep an eye on what happens with the weapons around Jameis, and wouldn't be surprised if he's able to hop up in there.
Oh, sure. I mean, such a young quarterback. What is he? He'd be entering his third year.
Come on. He finishes the QB 16 this year.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about all these guys, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota.
Also, they're all like 12 points out of the top 10. Because when you get down to there, it's much smaller margins. So.
There you go. All right, so there you go. Let's vote on fantasy bargain.
Wait, I don't get to say who's going to come in?
Nope,
top 10?
Don't. Sorry.
Well, you kind of suck, so I mean.
Well, okay.
Matt Harmon, who's an idiot?
All right, give me your quarterback.
Well, I mean, these two schlums went super chalky. Like, oh, the third-year breakouts. Nobody saw that coming.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's the obvious.
So you're going to say Tom Brady?
There's the obvious. Yeah, I could be like, well, this is not going to be wrong, and I don't like being wrong. No, but there's Tom Brady. I mean, obviously, there's Russell Wilson, Cam Newton. I'm not going to say. How about Carson Palmer?
What?
Back in the top 10 next year.
Oh, my God.
Listen, let's be honest.
You're riding hard for Blake Bortles and Carson Palmer, man. Baby. Listen, let's go. Let me hear it.
Let's just be honest with what happened with Carson Palmer this year. Their protection completely fell apart.
Oh, okay.
He's old, but I also think he was a very good quarterback to end the stretch. I don't think he was the biggest problem there. Their weapons fell apart. I mean, just getting Michael Floyd off the team is going to be a nice boost for the offense.
Interesting. Addition by subtraction.
Addition by subtraction. I mean, did you see what he did in New England on Saturday night? He was a mess.
Yes.
Michael Floyd stinks. I think John Brown might be a little healthier next year. Larry Fitzgerald's still there.
I think getting John Brown in and out of the lineup, I think that also messed up the offense too.
And those two have a great chemistry.
Yeah.
I mean, they practiced together all offseason. You know, I think it was just a weird year for Brown, but if their protection's better next year, look, David Johnson not going to see 370 touches next year,
right,
for the second year in a row. I would be pretty surprised if that happens. Overall, I think Palmer has a pretty decent chance to finish as a back half top 10 quarterback.
Interesting. Man, that is bold. I like
you,
it.
And you were going to cut it out of the podcast completely.
I know. Seriously. We still might. We can edit it.
Oh, man.
That's good. All right. We might just stop end it with, hey, Matt Harmon, you suck. But
Jesus Christ. What do you deserve this?
I don't know. Can we vote on Fantasy Bargain of the Year?
Let's.
This was the criteria, all right? So basically, it had to be a player that was widely drafted that vastly outperformed ADP. This is different than we already voted for waiver wire pickup of the year. Obviously, when you pick up a guy off the waiver wire, that is a tremendous bargain. But there are other guys that were widely drafted that vastly outperformed their ADP. Here are your list of nominees. LeGarrette Blount, 1,168 rush yards, 18 touchdowns. DeMarco Murray, who we thought was dead, 1,287 rush yards, 377 receiving yards. So what are we talking, 1,600 total yards there? 12 touchdowns, one passing touchdown as well, which is always fun.
Against my Packers. Ah!
Jay Ajayi. 1,200 rushing, or 1,272 on the ground, 151 through the air, eight touchdowns. Jordan Howard, 1,300 rush yards, nearly 300 receiving yards, seven total touchdowns. And then, of course, there's Matt Ryan, again, 4,900 passing yards, 38 touchdowns, seven interceptions. We talk about a guy that was the quarterback two that was drafted, maybe not drafted, I don't know. But he was drafted extremely late. We'll start with Matt Harmon. Give me your vote for Fantasy Bargain of the Year.
Pretty tempted to say Ajayi or Jordan Howard, but both those guys had stretches during the year where it was like, can you start these guys or not? So that's why I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount. He was like the consensus ADP running back 36th, 102 overall.
Yeah.
That's an insane bargain for a guy that scored 18 touchdowns and really, like, you know, never stopped scoring touchdowns.
Nope.
You could play him every single week, and he was one of the best bets to score a TD every single week. And I'm going to give him this award because not only was he a bargain at the beginning of the year, but you guys remember everybody's like, oh, he's going to fall off as soon as Brady gets back. He's going to fall off as soon as Brady gets back. Guess what? Never happened. So he was a bargain at the beginning of the year. And in the middle of the year, too.
And late.
You could trade for him.
No, and late, because remember, everyone's like, oh, Deion Lewis is coming back.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount.
He was like a three-time bargain. So we don't even need to talk about the rest. And nobody else give their picks because you guys all suck.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say, in defense of LeGarrette Blount, he only failed to score a touchdown in 3 weeks of the entire season.
That's amazing.
And in one of those weeks, he had 124 yards.
He's great. So, Alex Keller, give me your vote. LeGarrette.
Well, I was going to pick LeGarrette Blount, too,
okay,
because
he was
just an outrageous value. And, like, you talked about, like, the same thing. I had the same qualms with Ajayi or Jordan Howard, where, like, there were weeks where you're like, oh, great, here comes Jeremy Langford again playing 60% of the snaps or whatever, not knowing what's going to happen. LeGarrette Blount, every week, even if, like, they fell out of a LeGarrette Blount type of game script, they got down to the one, they go, here you go, big guy.
In
there.
You know why I threw Jay Ajayi in there was because you look at this list, and I feel like his name pops the most, right? Like, most casual fans think Jay Ajayi was unbelievable. He had three different 200-yard games. Here's the thing, though, in fantasy, there's a 0% chance you played him on his first 200-yard game. 0% chance. And then the next two, well, I mean, they came much later, and they were in between those games.
Well, the second one came
the week after.
There was a lot of
bad games.
Second came the week after. So you probably got that one. But then the third one was so far afterwards.
Week 16.
There were so many bad games in between.
Right.
And I just wanted to put him on that list just because to highlight the fact that, overall he had pretty darn good numbers, but I mean, from a fantasy perspective, there's no chance in hell you connected on that first 200-yard game, which means...
I mean, he did... I remember that week beforehand, he had 40-ish yards and a touchdown. The tea leaves were starting to fall and be like, hey, this might be Ajayi. So if you were in a pickle, you could have started him. I don't think it's a 0% chance,
okay,
but it's not like everybody was riding with him at that point.
Right.
Like, let's go, Ajayi. Now's your time. Get more than 2 points this week, please.
No, it's true. Just don't be left off the team plane this week.
Yeah, please. Make the flight to the game.
Good God. All right, MG, who do you got?
I think I got to go with Blount, too. I mean, I was looking at Jordan Howard because I remember us talking in the preseason about the Bears. Basically, like, you know, everything but a neon sign telling us they were going to run a committee and
right,
trying to give it to Jeremy Langford, and Howard played well. But just literally, LeGarrette Blount was kind of set it and forget it this year.
Yeah,
and it was for the second straight year that you didn't really have those Patriot running back blues. I mean, the year before, it was Deion Lewis who kind of erased that.
Yeah.
And then this year, it was LeGarrette Blount where you plugged him in and you didn't really worry about game script. Because like Harmon said, they got down inside the 5-yard line and you knew blunt force trauma was going to happen over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. I would vote for, gosh, it's hard to go away from LeGarrette Blount just because of the 18 touchdowns, but I would definitely make a case for Matt Ryan.
The quarterback guy.
I know. And the reason I make a case for Matt Ryan, it really actually ties into the fantasy MVP because I'm not going to vote for him there. I feel like Matt Ryan should win an award somewhere. I feel like he should win some kind of fantasy award just because he's been so great this year. But it's hard to get away from LeGarrette Blount at the running back position, a position that obviously you stress out about on a week-to-week basis in your drafts all throughout the year. LeGarrette Blount with 18 touchdowns. And again, he was being drafted widely, even though it wasn't very high. He was being drafted because there was, you know, obviously question marks about Tom Brady. We knew he wasn't going to play. Deion Lewis was out. I think he was widely drafted. And if you took him, man, you scored big. So LeGarrette Blount, your fantasy bargain of the year. Let's talk about fantasy MVP. David Johnson will lead the list. He had more than 2,000 total yards, 20 total touchdowns. Zeke Elliott had just about 2,000 total yards, 16 total touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell was there as well. He had about 1,800, almost 1,900 total yards, 9 total touchdowns in just 12 games, mind you. Aaron Rodgers is there with his 4,400 passing yards, 40 touchdowns. And again, Matt Ryan, a good nominee as well, 4,900 passing yards, 38 passing touchdowns. WizKid from Wisconsin, what is your vote?
It's David Johnson, and it's not close.
I feel
this might be a landslide.
It's
but
not close.
The dude had double-digit points every week. He had the curb-stomping weeks where when you had him in your lineup, you just like texted your opponent and just laughed.
Nine different games of 20-plus points.
He was a versatile threat. There was no game script that he got forced out of. There was nothing wrong with David Johnson in fantasy this year. So he's got to be the MVP.
I know where you're going.
Come on, bro. You know where this is going. I mean, look, there was a point midway to late in the year when he was all the Cardinals had offensively.
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that
They
still couldn't stop him. And the fact, I mean, you know, you hear the stories about he and Le'Veon Bell lining up wide and drawing double teams as wide receivers. I mean, the fact that in an era of fantasy that is dominated by quarterbacks, he's number four. He was the number four scorer overall, and that was partially because of a game where he left early in week 17. I mean,
true.
You're talking about a guy whose bad weeks were still double digit points.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane. This was the kind of year, you know. I know that we talk about regression. Yeah. This is the kind of year you can't expect something like this to happen again because it was amazing.
Right.
And I hope that everybody who watched it actually took some time to step back and appreciate how special it was, because this was just, it was a season for the ages.
His receiving yards would have been the 36th most among wide receivers.
He saw 120 targets.
Amazing.
He saw 120 targets. That's stupid for a running back.
All right, Matt Harmon.
Well.
You're going to go chalk?
I mean.
Kind of have to.
Can I not say David Johnson? Can I not? That is the question. And you know what? I think the answer to that question will be, no, I can't not.
Yeah. Thanks, Perd.
No, it's true. I'm going to vote David Johnson as well. He's the runaway.
Let's not forget, too, he was not the – Todd Gurley was going as the running back one in drafts consensusly. I mean,
it's true.
And the top three receivers usually would go before David Johnson, Brown, Beckham, and Jones.
I remember when I said to take him number one overall, I kind of got some snickers.
Dude.
Not from anybody here, but from other people. Yeah.
Our friend 14 Team Mocker pulled up like one of my tweets about David Johnson over Gurley in the summer. You know, and saying like, hey, this was not a popular take. He did that during week 17. And I went back and just looked at some of the replies when I suggested that Johnson should absolutely, confidently go ahead of Todd Gurley. People did not like that take back then. I mean, a lot of people didn't expect him to have the season that he had.
Stop hating.
Stop hating.
Even if we did, I remember like when I was thinking about it way, way, way back when we had to do our first top 100 or 200s or whatever around the NFL Network show, I had Gurley ahead of him because I was like, Gurley feels safer, but I was like, Johnson has the much higher ceiling. Like I think I even remember saying one time he has like 2,000 plus total yards season.
Yeah.
He actually got there.
Boom.
And like that's just another point to like, I'm just going to pat us all on the back because all of us ended up having David Johnson as running back one, including franchise two, who's not here. Like patting us all on the back here, like because that was the conventional wisdom was Gurley safer because he's going to get more touches.
Yeah.
There was nobody safer in fantasy this year than David Johnson. I think we all correctly identified that this preseason. And that's just sometimes what you think like a safety You got to rethink conventional
wisdom. Yeah, you got to be able to respect the process and change as your research and the new data and information and film becomes available.
Love it. Congratulations, David Johnson. You're the fantasy MVP for the NFL Fantasy Line.
Tremendous list of nominees, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Zeke Elliott, I thought, was a really
good double-digit
candidate.
Points every week, too.
Oh, yeah. He was sick. He was sick.
Le'Veon Bell, you got basically David Johnson production. You just got it for 13 games.
Yeah, right. And you also took him later in the draft, too, which I thought was, you know, why he could at least make the list. Matt Ryan, again, you talk about great production.
You keep bringing up the quarterbacks. You just listen. I think we all know why you keep bringing up quarterbacks.
Why's that?
Because you're a flashy guy. They're flashy position. They make the most money of any position in the NFL. You make more money than anyone else on this podcast because of your massive basketball radio money.
Oh my god!
Wow, we got almost an hour in before that.
I was thinking too. We had to, even though it wouldn't have mattered if James came on time because we had technical difficulties. But James was all like, "We're recording at noon." Shows up like 12:15, 12:20.
Yep.
We're pretty classic, big money move.
Yeah, you know.
I'm gonna be honest. I had that joke queued up the second I saw the rundown. I was like, I'm timing it right here. 40 minutes in.
Ah, there we go.
All right, let's do Daily Daps again.
Let's do it. That is not the Daily Dap thing.
What, is Franchise back there again?
Yeah, whoops. Hey, Franchise, train whistle, falling sound.
Oh, my God.
Prepare you.
Franchise. All right, here. Now we're actually going to do Daps and get out of here.
Okay.
All
right, Daily Dap time. Thank you.
I threw one more in.
Okay, thank you. I do appreciate it. I'll actually kick us off this time. There's a fellow by the name of Jun Saito. He is a selfie cup-throwing trick artist. I want you guys to go. I put the link on the rundown to his Instagram page. You can find him on Instagram at jsaito93. But man, he is hilarious. He just deadpans into a selfie shot and he throws cups into trash cans that are super far away. He throws ping pong balls, golf balls. He throws cups on ceilings. I don't know how to describe it other than
I'm watching it now and this is madness.
It's
insane.
I don't get how he
threw one into a cup on his dog.
Like, this is insane.
They're moving. I mean, there's a dog moving, and he throws a cup onto it. There's a girl. I think it's his daughter. I don't know. She's got an open backpack, and he throws a snack pack in there. It's a no look, and he's throwing it behind his back.
How many takes do you think this?
I don't know. How many takes it took to do these?
I don't know.
And the fact that he doesn't.
But he's
react
got a
at
lot
all.
Of them. But he's got a lot of them, and there's no reaction. Deadpans it right in.
This is
all
amazing.
Right, James. I'm gonna waste way too much time on this.
This is the best thing I've seen on Instagram since the breadface girl.
Bro,
breadface girl.
Breadface girl is weird. At jsaito93 on Instagram. MG, my guy, hit me.
You know what? I want to Daily Dap Barnum and Bailey. They're shutting it down.
So sad.
146 years of doing it. And I know that, you know, in recent years, you know, you have animal activists and whatever. Placing no judgment. I mean, you know, the whole animal acting has fallen out of favor. And the fact of them having acrobats doesn't compete with Cirque du Soleil. But the fact that literally this was not only an American institution, but kind of a worldwide institution for nearly 150 years is absolutely amazing. So, you know, Daily Daps to Barnum and Bailey, Ringling Brothers, and everything for having this. You know, like, the circus coming to town is a phrase. I mean, having, you know, everything about a circus clown cars and everything.
That's a good point.
It is a thing that we talk about. It is such a catchphrase. And so, you know, a lot of it is owed to this company that has, you know, personified what the circus is for a century and a half.
All right. Love it. WizKid from Wisconsin.
I'm going to Daily Dap the movie Split. I got to see a preview screening last night.
Oh,
it comes out this weekend.
Scary as hell, man.
It's not like super, not like jump scary, but it's really cool. James McAvoy is awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's a trailer. He kidnaps these girls, but he suffers from split personality disorder. So there's 23 different versions of himself, which is just a crazy, it's like a crazy idea. But I was like, how has nobody thought of that before? Like, you get captured by somebody, but they have many, many, many multiple personalities. So
it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, so yes, there is a twist at the end.
Hell yeah.
But it's cool. It's not what I expected. It's not a perfect movie. There are some flaws. There are some things it does really well, but I would encourage people to go see it because
I'm
also... Is
it better than Lady in the Water?
Marcus, everything's better than Lady in the Water.
Wow. All right, there you go. Matt Harmon, what's up?
I'm going to daily dap the Netflix show Crown. It's really good. It's kind of quietly really good.
Okay.
It takes a little bit. It's not like a super fast show. The first couple episodes takes a little bit of slogging to get through.
Look at you watching stuff other than football.
Well,
he watches shows.
I watch shows.
He just doesn't watch movies.
Got it.
That's the bit.
Okay. Because movies are too long, but he'll sit down and watch 3 hours of a television series.
I don't watch 3 hours. I've been watching episode by episode because I don't really know if it's like a binge worthy show.
Okay.
Well, I guess you could crush it in a Saturday, like if you have nothing else to do. But like, I told Alex last night, I have a very succinct pattern to my days at this point right now, and like, there's about an hour period where I can watch TV, and I've been watching The Crown in that period, and it's really good. It's about Queen Elizabeth taking over for her father, King George, who died, and Winston Churchill. John Lithgow does a great job as Winston Churchill. It's like a weird character to see him in, but it's really good. I would encourage everybody to watch it. Like, definitely give it a chance. It's not what you would like think you'd be interested in, but it's good.
I love it. There you go.
All right,
that's our show. We appreciate you listening to the NFL Fantasy Line Podcast. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, MG Mike, I'm Mark Trent, Matt Harmon, West Virginia's finest, and our brother, Matt Franchise, on sabbatical. I'm James Go. See ya.
See ya later.